Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, But Everyone Feels This Way, How an Autism Diagnosis Saved My Life is a memoir by Paige Lale. An autism acceptance activist and social media creator whose work centers on neurodivergent self-understanding. The book recounts her experience of growing up without a diagnosis, feeling persistently out of step with the expectations around her, and later receiving an autism diagnosis that helped make sense of long-standing confusion and distress. Its purpose is not to explain autism in clinical terms, but to show how a late diagnosis can change self-perception, reduce shame, and reframe earlier experiences that were once interpreted as personal failure. Written in an accessible, first-person style, the book sits at the intersection of memoir and autism advocacy. It is especially focused on autistic women and on the broader cultural tendency to overlook, minimize, or misread autism when it does not match familiar stereotypes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, late autism diagnosis as a turning point in identity and self-understanding. One of the book's central ideas is that diagnosis can function as an interpretive turning point rather than merely a label. Paige Lale presents her autism diagnosis as life-changing because it provided an explanation for experiences that had long felt confusing, isolating, or impossible to manage. That matters analytically because the book shows how many struggles become more damaging when they are personalized as character flaws instead of understood as signs of neurodivergence. The memoir therefore frames diagnosis as a route to coherence. It links past behaviors, emotional reactions, and social difficulties into a pattern that can be understood. This does not mean diagnosis solves every problem, but it changes the meaning of those problems. The book is strongest when it shows the emotional relief that can come from being accurately named, especially for people who have spent years being told they are simply too sensitive, difficult, or dramatic. Or, in that sense, the diagnosis is not the end point of the story but the beginning of a more accurate self-reading. Secondly, how the memoir exposes the hidden costs of masking and being seen as normal. The book repeatedly challenges the idea that an outwardly successful or socially functional child must therefore be doing well internally. Lale describes a childhood in which she appeared normal enough to others, while privately struggling with overwhelm, confusion, and a sense that ordinary demands took far more effort than they seemed to take for other people. This is important because it highlights masking, even when the term is not treated as a technical concept. The memoir shows that the ability to maintain appearances can delay recognition and support because visible achievement often hides invisible distress. That tension is one of the book's most important contributions. It explains why many autistic people, especially girls and young women, are missed by systems that rely on obvious disruption rather than internal strain. The analysis is persuasive because it connects social expectations with psychological cost. Being praised for coping can become part of the problem if it prevents others from noticing when coping itself is exhausting. The memoir therefore offers a critique of normalcy as a misleading standard, showing that seeming fine is not the same as being fine. Thirdly, a first-person account of sensory overload, emotional intensity, and everyday friction, rather than presenting autism as an abstract diagnostic category. The book emphasizes how it feels in ordinary life. Lale's account focuses on sensory discomfort, strong emotional reactions, and the frustration created when routine changes or unclear expectations disrupt her sense of control. This emphasis matters because it moves the discussion away from stereotypes that reduce autism to social awkwardness alone. The memoir suggests that much of autistic distress comes from a constant accumulation of small frictions, unpredictable environments, unclear communication, and moments that may seem minor to others but are experienced as overwhelming. By centering lived sensation and emotional intensity, the book helps readers understand why autism can shape so many daily decisions and responses. It also underscores the difference between external observation and internal reality. A child may look composed while internally managing panic, confusion, or sensory overload. The book is valuable precisely because it makes those invisible processes legible without over-explaining them in clinical language. That accessibility is part of its strength, since it translates autistic experience into plain, emotionally credible terms that non-autistic readers can grasp while still feeling authentic to autistic readers. Fourthly, challenging stereotypes about autistic girls and women through memoir. A major focus of the book is the way autism is often overlooked in girls and women because their presentations can differ from popular stereotypes. Lale's story shows how social compliance, academic competence, and learned performance can all contribute to missed recognition. The memoir uses personal narrative to challenge the assumption that autism must always look obvious, disruptive, or narrowly male-coded. That makes the book culturally significant because underdiagnosis is not just a medical issue. It is also a social one, shaped by expectations about gender, behavior, and emotional expression. The book implicitly critiques systems that look for the wrong signs and therefore fail to support people who do not fit the default image of autism. Its value lies in demonstrating how recognition can be delayed, not because a person is less autistic, but because they are more likely to be interpreted through social assumptions about being polite, high-achieving, or simply sensitive, by foregrounding an autistic woman's perspective. The memoir broadens the public picture of autism and helps readers understand why late diagnosis is so common in marginalized or overlooked groups. Lastly, autism acceptance rather than correction, cure, or shame. The book's broader argument is aligned with autism acceptance and neurodiversity rather than with a deficit-only model of autism. Lael does not present diagnosis as a reason to erase autistic traits. Instead, she treats it as a way to understand herself more honestly and live with less self-blame. That distinction is important because many books about autism still center adaptation as normalization, whereas this memoir emphasizes legitimacy, accommodation, and self-recognition. It also fits within a wider advocacy tradition that resists stigma and challenges the impulse to treat autistic difference as something inherently broken. The book does not offer a step-by-step program or a technical framework, but it contributes something different, an argument about how language and understanding can improve a person's relationship to themselves. The practical value for readers is not only empathy, but also perspective. Families, educators, and allies can better see why dismissal and pressure to appear normal can be harmful. In the context of autism literature, this positions the book as a readable, emotionally grounded complement to more clinical or theoretical works, especially for readers seeking first-person testimony rather than instruction. In conclusion, this book will be most useful for autistic readers, especially women and late-diagnosed adults, as well as for parents, educators, clinicians, and allies who want a more intimate understanding of how autism can be missed for years. Its main benefit is interpretive rather than technical. It helps readers see how confusion, masking, sensory overload, and emotional exhaustion can be woven into an apparently ordinary life. That makes it valuable for anyone trying to understand the gap between outward functioning and inner experience. Compared with many autism books, it stands out because it is both memoir and advocacy, with a voice shaped by lived experience rather than by clinical explanation. It does not aim to be a manual, and that is part of its distinctiveness. Instead, it offers a first-person account that can sharpen empathy, challenge stereotypes, and reframe late diagnosis as a form of clarity rather than a label of deficit. For readers looking for an accessible autism memoir that reflects the realities of being misunderstood for years, this book occupies a clear and meaningful place in the genre. If you would like to support Paige Lael, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.